Acts chapter 5. We sing a song. I don't know if we've sang it for a while. He's able. He's able. I know he's able. And thinking about what the Lord can do. I remember hearing Joe Mark during one of the services last week in the evening. He was praying and prayed for us to see. And I think the phrase he used was an acts, A-C-T-S, an acts type of response amongst the people. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do these things, and we see them here in Acts chapter 5. And I think we live in a different day. What I mean by that is, obviously, they had just seen thousands of folks saved at one time. And that was a consequence of Peter's preaching, but more than that, it was a consequence of the Holy Spirit doing a great work. I know it was a different day because Ananias and Sapphira fell down dead when they lied to the Holy Ghost. And so God's doing some things in the book of Acts that I wouldn't mind seeing them again, but I don't anticipate that. Maybe that's a lack of faith. Someone says God can still do it. I know he can, and that's probably enough said. I don't know what he's going to do, but I know that I can attend to my spiritual health, and you can too. And we can worship God, and we can be what we ought to be. And for us, in our individual lives, there are some things here, some principles here, that still are in place today. We may not be seeing thousands saved at a time and such, but we are seeing some principles here today in this passage that still apply to us. I think of the Lovegrove family. Wouldn't that be difficult, especially since he remembers his parents having to leave that country, and they never got to go back. They came out and stayed out. I'm thinking about, wouldn't that be hard to go there and to love the people and to see some of them get saved and to grow close to them, and they become family. Verse 19, I'm sorry. The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prisons to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the door keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." And when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Let's pray one more time, please. Father, help us tonight. Just let us see a few things here in the Bible and see them clearly. And pray that you would move us in a way that would give us extra confidence in you, faith, and hope. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you one question to start. Has God's ability or his power changed since the days of the book of Acts? No. But certainly some things have, haven't they? Two or three things that you can see in here that we don't see anymore. Literally, as Peter was walking down the street, they were trying to get people into the shadow that would be cast by him, just if he could get close enough to them. And they were seeing people healed, and they were seeing demons cast out. And I like the end of verse 16. It didn't just happen now and then. It says they were healed, everyone. We have never seen anybody, even the pretenders, that pretend to be able to do miraculous healing today. We've not seen it like that. If you know of anybody that believes they can heal in this way, let's go to the hospital. Amen? One by one, empty those things out. And that's not the way God's working now. But is God still working? Sure he is. So we do know that there are some things that are different. We're not seeing the miracles. I love this story. This is God's idea of catch and release, if you get the point. And you see what's happening here. It says that they laid their hands on him in verse 18 and put him in the common prison. And in verse 19, the angel opened the doors and brought him forth. and a miraculous deliverance. We've known very few people that I can think of. I'm trying to think of anybody I knew personally that's been called and placed in jail because of the ministry, but there are people that have had that occasion, and especially in foreign countries, you know, in the 60s and 70s and 80s in Russia that was happening, and the Soviet Union, and then the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, there are people that have been cast into prison for preaching the gospel. And I don't know any stories one way or the other. I know that in Peter's day, they'd put him in and God let him out. And he still can do that too, can't he? We're not seeing God work in that way today. So that's those two events that you see in verses 15 and 16, the healing, and then in verses 17 through about 25, this deliverance that they're having. That was something we don't see anymore. And then in verses 12 through 14, I'm particularly interested in the end of verse 13, it says, the people magnified them. And wasn't that the Pharisees' concern all along? For example, at the end of verse 24, the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests doubted of them whereunto this would grow. And the thing they were concerned about is as more and more people were hearing what God was doing through the apostles, the priests and such were worried that they were going to lose their positions, their influence, and so on. And folks, we don't serve God because of our position or our influence. We serve him because he deserves to be served. And I just remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified, buried, and risen again by this time. The veil in the temple, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, that veil was rent in twain. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that it signifies that the access to the Holy of Holies is now available to all of us. Talking to Greg before the service about praise the Lord for his goodness. And do you understand that you have direct access to the throne of grace? Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly under the throne of grace. You do not have to go through a priest anymore. I don't understand why people won't just read the Bible and see that the priest is an Old Testament instrument, an Old Testament figure that has been removed, and the Lord Jesus Christ is now the only high priest we need. And we don't have to go through a priest. We can go straight to him in prayer. We did so tonight, and we'll do so again. So, just some principles here. Not seeing this idea that the people magnified them, for example, in verse 13, there were such miraculous things being done. The healings and the deliverance from prison and the preaching, and they were doing such miraculous things that the people caught on. And folks, today, God's still able to do great things, but we're not seeing these kind of miracles, and so this idea of being magnified not necessarily taking place anymore. God delivered these fellows, however. He delivered them from oppression. The people magnified them. He delivered them from powerlessness. They were able to heal. He delivered them from prison. They were let go. And then later, a culmination of all this, let's begin reading in verse 26. It says, then went the captain with the officers, and they brought them without violence, because God let them out of prison, so now they went to get them again. For they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned, because the people are on the apostles' side. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? In other words, the high priest says, you know, we told you we weren't going to put up with this. And we told you not to do this anymore. And isn't it interesting, the thing they're concerned about is the name of Christ. Their concern is not the miracles, although they were discouraged that they couldn't do that kind of thing, but their concern was for the name of Christ. And they said, didn't we tell you that you shouldn't preach in this name anymore? And in verse 28, behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Oh, stop right there. First of all, isn't it good they filled Jerusalem with the truth? And what was the truth? That Jesus Christ was crucified and buried and rose again to save them. And we were just praying before the service tonight and reminding ourselves that we have an area around here we need to fill with the truth. And one house at a time, one person at a time, but we need to fill it up. So they said, you know, you have been telling everybody this doctrine. And then in verse 28, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Oh, hold it right there. Who was it that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ? And who was it responsible for that? And they can deny the guilt now, but they did have him crucified. And they are guilty of that. And that blood is on their hands. So that's just a flat-out lie right there. But look at verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. How about that? Isn't it true that we are afraid sometimes of what men will say? Now, we have a unique situation. We live in a country to where, to some extent, not completely, but to some extent, we have what's called freedom of speech. I was handing out tracts at the Olympics in 2002, and they had this special, I don't know, enclosure, I guess. It was big. It was the size of a football field. And they had shops and displays and things for sale in there. There was a gate where you'd come in and out. And it was the middle of the day. We were walking around downtown in the Olympics village in Salt Lake City and came to that gate, and there was this girl standing there. I just walked up to her and I said, hey, can we give you this tract? And we had a gospel tract that we'd printed especially for the Olympics. And she said, can you do that? And I don't know how I knew it, but she had a flag or something on it. Showed me she was from Australia, I think it was. Either Australia or Canada. And she said, can you do that? And I said, yeah, this is the United States. Now, when we went to Canada with our youth group to hand out literature, they got a law up there. And you cannot walk up to somebody on the street and say, here, what you can do, it was funny, you can stand there and hold it, and if someone wants it, they can reach out and take it. So we would literally line up, two or three of us in a row, and we'd all have something there, just, you know, on our hand, offering it to them, but just holding it there. And then if they came by and took it, that was great. And what was funny was it was me and these other two guys and this guy in the middle, about teenage boy, and then me and another guy on the ends. They skip over me and take it from him. They skip over the other guy and take it from the guy in the middle, and we couldn't figure out what it was about him that made him so attractive to them that they'd take his literature. Same material. We kept saying they must think we're ugly or something. They won't touch ours, but they'll take yours. So you stay right here and you keep handing this stuff out. But yeah, we have the freedom to go out and tell. Last week, we went out and talked to people and said, hey, come to church. Not just relatives, but people on the street. We can knock on a door. There's some things you can't do, but there's a lot of things that you can do. And we ought to obey God rather than men, though. And even if it becomes unpopular or illegal, we still need to do what God says to do. And these men were doing that, and that's one of the reasons they were successful. He says in verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. That kind of settles it, doesn't it? They said, oh, you know, you're going to bring this man's blood upon us. Yep, you did it. He says, ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now, look at the common situation here. The priests and these folks that are in authority, they are taking the disciples and they're locking them up, and God's letting them out. They took the Lord Jesus Christ and they slew him and placed him in a tomb. And to say it in a simple way, God let him out. And folks, God's still doing that kind of thing today. Again, I'm not seeing a whole lot of folks go to jail, and so I haven't got a lot of stories about that kind of thing, but I do know this, God still delivers. Amen? And last week, when we saw at least three souls get saved, and I'm sure some others heard the gospel, and prayerfully they did or they will get saved, God still delivers. And I know that deliverance is not just at the church level, it's at our level. It's in my life. It's in your life. Amen? Don't think God's not in the delivering business anymore. We may see it different things than they saw, different ways, but I can just tell you, I've been delivered. First of all, I've been saved. And second of all, countless times in our lives, we've come across something we couldn't handle, and God delivered us. One of our favorite verses, you know, the afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. That's not just good for the Old Testament, not just good for Acts. God is in the business of delivering. And so he delivered them. He delivered them from this oppression, from obscurity, and from the opinions of men. And they just kept on serving God. God is also still in the business of providing. And in verse 14, verses 12 through 14 especially, but look at verse 14, it says, the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. God was providing them with a lot of souls being saved. Now, folks, I do believe God still wants to save people. And I do believe that this week, for example, when we saw at least three souls get saved, that's exciting, but we'd like to see more. Now, remember something that's very important here. God is not doing this without or aside from the disciples. God is doing this through the disciples. They're doing what they were supposed to do. They're obeying God rather than man. And God is using them. And the Holy Spirit is moving greatly. And because of that, they're seeing fruit. I think of that time when Paul went to Philippi. Remember the Philippian jailer? But when they first got to that region, they met that woman, Lydia, at the river. And you ask yourself, why would she have any interest in what they had to say? Why would anybody have any interest in the gospel? If a missionary goes to Ethiopia or Thailand or anywhere, and we've been to Thailand on numerous occasions, what would make those people listen? It's not because we are great communicators or we've got a better way of presenting it. It's because of the Holy Spirit. And we need, as Joe Mark prayed and as I would fervently agree, we need the Holy Spirit to work in us, through us, so that we can see some more folks get saved. Being filled with the Spirit, making ourselves available to God and repentance in our life, those are the things that God's looking for. But God's not done working yet. It may not be in the magnitude or the quantity that these folks saw, but God is still providing souls. Talking about miracles, it says in verse 16, they were healed, every one. In verse 15, Peter's shadow was passing over people, and because of that, they were being healed. We saw other miracles earlier in the book of Acts. For example, when Ananias and Sapphira died is a miracle. And this is a touchy area because I've had people ask me, well, can't you heal people? Folks, Peter couldn't heal people, but God could. And again, we live in a day where God does things a bit differently, but does God still heal people? Oh, sure he does. I believe in December, Lord willing, Eva is going to come rolling in. She'll be in a wheelchair, I expect. But I don't know how many of you saw her when she was so sick in bed she couldn't even hold her eyes open. And she had to have a machine to breathe for her and to feed her. And the botulism had so destroyed her body that she could barely move. She couldn't talk. She did, praise the Lord, have the use of one hand, and she was able to use a phone a little bit. But I remember it was hard. She'd want to talk to you on the phone, but the trouble is she couldn't talk. And you'd get on the FaceTime with her, and you'd do all the talking, and she just couldn't. But folks, I think there'll be a day when she walks again. I know she's breathing. I've talked to her. She talks pretty good now. She can roll around in that wheelchair, and there's a few little things she's got to have done, but she's going to come out. And anytime somebody gets healed, God did it. He is the great physician. We don't see the kind of miracles they were seeing here, but we really don't need to see those kind of miracles because we now have the completed Word of God. We have the Bible, and the Bible says in Luke, when the rich man was in hell, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't believe even if one rose from the dead. So anymore, we've got something better than miracles. We have, as the Bible says, a more sure word of prophecy. We have the Bible. And what can we do? Let's get the seed out. Let's give folks tracts. Let's talk to them about the Lord, and let's get the Bible to them. So God provided souls. He provided miracles. And then he provided protection. And again, I'm just looking at verse 25. They went to get these guys out of prison to talk to them, and the men came back and they reported, "The men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." There's a perseverance there, isn't there? In other words, they threw us in jail. The Lord got us out. Let's go back to preaching again. It's sad to say, a lot of folks are more easily stopped today than they were back in that day, weren't they? And tonight, we're missing a few folks. And I understand that after evangelistic meetings, sometimes people get kind of worn out and they feel like they can take a break. Sunday's not a good day to take a break. But you know what? The Lord expects of us to be faithful. Just keep on keeping on. And the Lord provided that. So look at verse 32 and we're done. Verse 31 and 32. They talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, and here's what they have to say. "You slew him," in verse 30, "and hanged him on a tree." That's what the world did to him. "Him," Jesus, "hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior." The word prince has the idea of authority, and of course the savior is the deliverance. "For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Now, don't miss those two words in verse 31, "to Israel." God's not finished with Israel yet. He's going to save them one day. And that's going to happen during the tribulation, I understand. But God exalted the Lord Jesus Christ with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. That's who Jesus is to God. Who's Jesus to us? Is he our prince? Is he our savior? And I think the answer to both of those is definitely yes. And that's what these fellows would have said. Verse 32. "And we are his witnesses of these things. We are his witnesses of these things, as so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." And there's two or three things there, and I'll be done. These men have stepped into eternity, but God still has witnesses. You know, when Paul talked to somebody about the Lord, one of the things he often did was just tell them what God did in his life. And it may have been a long time ago that she got saved. It has been for me. And so it's not as fresh as it once was. But can you still tell somebody, "I was on my way to hell and Christ saved me. I came to a place one day," and I can still remember it for the most part, "where I knew I was a sinner and I was going to die and go to hell. And then I called on Jesus and he saved me. And I remember how good it felt." And that's just a simple truth. That's something I can tell that happened to me. And you can as well. Now, the devil doesn't want you to. The devil would prefer that to lock you up, so to speak, and to turn opinion against you. But that's what we need to do, is be witnesses. And he says this, "And so is also the Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit working in us will magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his role. And he will give us that boldness that Joe Mark preached about this week. And he'll give us words to say. And it says this, "The Holy Ghost, whom God hath given," hath, past tense, "given to them that obey him." How's anything going to happen? It's because of the Holy Spirit living in us. Missionary goes out to a foreign land, and it's him and his family. And you can appreciate the Love Groves. They've got children to care for. It's a dangerous. It's one thing for me to stand in harm's way, but to have a wife and to have children in harm's way in a rebellion led by vicious murderers, that's something that's very, very precarious. But missionary goes out and he goes to some place And what's he got? He's got a call from God. He knows God wants him there. He's got a Bible, hopefully in their language. If not, that's something needs to be done, and they do that. And then he's got the Holy Spirit. But it's not just the Holy Spirit in the missionary. That's when we witness to folks, the Holy Spirit reinforces that, doesn't he? And we call it conviction. You've seen it. You saw it this week. I was sitting up here one night, I forgot which one, and Brother Mark was asking people to raise their hands. And he was just about ready to pray. And he said, "One more chance," he said. And I saw a hand, and it went like this. And I thought, that fella didn't really want to raise his hand, but God wanted him to raise it. And he knew in his heart, somehow the Holy Spirit was working on him. Folks, that's what we need. I cannot heal you. I cannot heal anybody, but God can. I cannot let anybody out of prison, not miraculously like this, but God can. I cannot convict a soul. I can give them the gospel, but I cannot bring conviction, but God can. That's what we need. Amen? Miraculous times in the book of Acts because God was working. We have to accept that God's working in different ways now, but we have to realize he's not done working, is he? And so we're going to keep on being persistent like they were. And when people try and stop them, they just got back up and kept on going. And don't get discouraged. Just like that missionary, you may feel like you're the only one out there. But it's not. You're not the only one out there. The Holy Spirit's with you. So let's keep on being faithful. Let's all stand and pray, if you would, please.